morning. Can we all stand up? Get ready for worship this morning. Jesus works in so many different ways, and it's crazy how he does it. He keeps you strong through the toughest times, and it's amazing how all you have to do is just call on Jesus, and he's right there for you. And he's just going to come right down and be the one you always call on. He keeps hope alive. He's the one that never fails. Let's worship this morning. Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher. With power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive. You keep hope alive.
Death had a stronghold, but your life was stronger. It's a part in this song that says, search me till there's nothing hidden. We come to you today, Lord, to ask for you to use us in such a mighty way, God. Put ourselves aside and use us. Less of us and more of you, God. We want you to have our full heart.
Yours.
belong to you. Hey, Lord, I belong to you. Every part of my heart, I belong to you. Lord, nothing missing, I belong to you. Lord, nothing hidden, I belong to you. I cry out, Abba, Lord, I belong to you. Take it, Lord, take it, Lord. Lord, I belong to you. I need you more, Lord. Lord, I belong to you. Hey, Lord, I belong to you. He doesn't want you to struggle with anything. Hallelujah. God, we belong to you. The depression, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, I belong to you. The anger, God. Hallelujah. Lord, I belong to you. The jealousy, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, I belong to you.
Make room for him this morning.
Where I lay it down. content with the things that God has already done. But can I challenge you this morning to surrender to God as if there is no one in this room but you and him? And not just because of what he's already done, right? Not just because of the things he's going to do, but just because he's God. Just because he woke us up this morning. Just because he allowed us to be in our right minds. Just because he allowed us to make it into his presence to worship him. So can I challenge you this morning? Can we all just lift our hands? I know it's uncomfortable for some of us. I know it's not something that we're accustomed to doing, but this is a sign of surrenderance. And as you lift your hands, I want you to feel every weight that you might have came in with this morning. I want you to feel every weight that you might have taken from the last year into the new one and surrender it to God. So as we worship, can we just whisper something to our Father? God, you're amazing. God, you are awesome. God, you are holy. God, we believe you to do the same thing that you've done before. We believe you to continue to do it again. We believe you to continue to do it again. We believe you to continue to do it again. And not because we deserve it, not because we've done everything so great, but because you are God. Yes, Lord. We thank you, God.
Faithfulness.
We're still in your hands. And he won't start now. Does anybody believe that? He won't start now. And 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 he won't start now. Can we tell you why he won't start now? Because I've seen you move.
I've seen you move.
You move the mountains.
You move the mountains.
Praise. We just thank you, Father God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Is he faithful to you this morning? We've seen him be faithful. We know that he'll do it again. I just told my sister on Friday, I said, you know what? I can never doubt that God can do a miracle because I've seen miracles in my life. Big miracles, small miracles. I can't even doubt. So you can't convince me that God's not real. You can't convince me that God doesn't do miracles even still today. Because I've seen them. My family has seen them. If you're sitting here and you know God has done miracles in your finances before, and he can do miracles again. He's done miracles. He's put you in the right job where you needed to be, and he can do that again. He's done miracles in your family. I know God's done miracles in my family, and I know because of that he can do it again. He can do it again. We don't have to doubt. Or even fear or worry, because we know great is his faithfulness. He's made promises, and he is good, and true to his word. He keeps his promises. Whatever it is in your life today that you say, you know what, I need a miracle, give that to God today. If it's your family, if it's your finances, if it's work, maybe it's just a relationship, like a friend relationship, whatever it is, give that to God. Watch him move that mountain for you. Watch him do a miracle. Father God, we bring before you today. We surrender. We bring to you those things today that we need a miracle. God, I thank you, Father, that you are good to your promises, that you are faithful in our lives. God, I pray right now, I speak to these mountains, and I command them to move in the name of Jesus, Father. Whatever it be represented here today, I pray that you would remind your people that you are moving, even when we don't see you moving, Father, that you're moving on our behalf. And we thank you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Can you give God a hand of praise this morning? We just thank you, Father God. You may be seated this morning. This week, I've been kind of stuck at home. One of my kids has been having some digestive issues and just feeling like we're stuck. But I said, well, you know, we're going to take advantage of that and clean out. So for last week, really last 2 weeks, we've been cleaning out. And in the midst, we were looking for something. My 6-year-old, he has a stuffed animal. That's his favorite stuffed animal. It's his comfort stuffed animal, and it's been missing since Christmas. We traveled to my sister's house, and that trip is when it disappeared. We've looked everywhere. We cleaned out his room. We've looked on his bed. My husband looked around his bed. We have cleaned out. And so finally, Thursday, I said, Jackson, I think it's really gone. We looked in the van again, and so we started looking. Maybe is there another animal? I had just given up. And Friday morning, I heard him yelling in his room. And he was like, Mom, Mom. And he actually wasn't even yelling, Mom. He was just yelling. And he came running in there with this silly little lion stuffed animal. I said, Jackson, where in the world did you find it? He said, I was laying in my bed, and I felt something under my back. And I just reached under my back in the bed, and I found the stuffed animal. And I might would just say, oh, well, there it was the whole time. But you know what? I don't even believe that, because I know that we searched everywhere. And something so small and silly for a 6-year-old, it was huge. I mean, he had been, in my lap Thursday night crying sad. I mean, he was trying to hold it together, but it was everything to him. Maybe there's something in your life that, you know what, to other people it might even seem not that big, but it's a mountain for you. God still does miracles. He still works in ways that we don't even understand. Don't give up and try to do things on your own way, because that's what I was doing. I was ordering another stuffed animal. I couldn't find the same one, but I was going to order something. Wait for God this morning. Whatever it is, wait for him, give it to him, and let him take care of whatever it is in your life this morning. At this time, I encourage you, your finances, to do the same. We give our tithes and our offerings and our buckets. You can go ahead and make your way forward. Give your finances to God and watch him move. Just watch him do miracles in your finances. If you are a first-time visitor, we would love to meet you at the end of the service in the foyer. We have a gift for you if you would stop right outside. We are so blessed this morning to receive the word from Pastor Bernie. I know I enjoy any time that Pastor Bernie brings the word forth. Pastor Wallace is in Washington in ministry and with family, so we send our best wishes to him. And at this time, can we give Pastor Bernie just a big hand of welcome? I always enjoy, you know, because he brings forth the word, not just from the pulpit, but any time that you're in conversation with him. He always brings wisdom, and we're just blessed to have Pastor Bernie today.
Thank you, Miranda. Can we give God a hand clap of praise this morning? I am so grateful and honored to be here today. I thank Pastor Wallace for this opportunity to preach, bring the word. You know, I'm going to preach after a while. I think I am anyway. But I just want to take a moment to say that my wife and I are truly grateful to be here at Carpenter Shop. Don't really know how to explain how we ended up here, but we're in a good place. We're in a very good place. You know, there are places and they're very good places. I'm just grateful. My daughter, we ate dinner with our daughters in Virginia weekend before last, and my oldest daughter called me a bucket of tears, but that's okay. She keep growing, she'll find out why Dad is crying. Not tears of sorrow, tears of joy. Because I've learned from the best, that's Jesus the Christ. And also the Apostle Paul said, whatever state he's in, there will be content. I'm like the young fella I had on the job with me. I'm not going to call his real name, but the guys nicknamed him Dirt. But he said, Mr. Bernie, he said, I'm still learning. Guess what? I'm still learning too. I'm still learning every day. But I've learned to be content to whatever state God has me in. As long as I surrender all to him, whatever state I'm in, he'll carry me through. You know, I go a long time without preaching at times, not because I can't, but I don't accept every appointment somebody gives me. If it's not of God, I don't really want to do it. But I started out this year, the first sermon I preached this year was on New Year's Day, and it was a funeral. The second service I went to this year, the day after that, was a funeral. So don't y'all be dead in here today, because you know what? The dead's already been buried. But I'm grateful. I'm just grateful. And you know, I hope this message today will help somebody along life's journey. Somebody in here is struggling today. I know you are. You're struggling in your spirit. You're struggling in your physical being. Just struggling because of life. And we watch so much TV till we get burdened down with things we shouldn't be burdened down with. CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, none of them can't get me to heaven. They can't get me there. It's okay to listen to news, but I don't need to swallow and digest everything they got going on. But I'm going to try to tell you something today about a man I know. You know what the gospel is? It's the good news. We're going to talk about the good news today. We're going to talk about the good news of Jesus the Christ. The one who hanged, bled, and died out on Calvary's rugged cross. That cross right there. Gave his life. He gave his life that you and I could be free. I don't take it for granted There was a time when I did, but I don't take it for granted. How good God has been to me, He's been to you. We need to learn to quit complaining. I can take you on a journey on the weekends, but when I do chaplain duty, people can't make it here to church. They can't make it. So that you get to come here today, you ought to be rejoicing today. Glory to God. I didn't mean to take time to do all that, but get there in a minute. This morning, those that have your Bibles, what a mechanism you use. How about turn to John 10, chapter 10. John chapter 10, and I'm going to read from the 34th to the 42nd verse, but my focal passages will be 39 through 42. Somebody ought to say amen. John 10, beginning in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods,'" small g gods. "If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blaspheming because I said, 'I am God's son'? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in Jesus. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, it's preaching time. And God, your manservant stands here trembling, O God, inside. But Lord, I decrease that you would increase. Lord, I go and hide behind the cross that it be all of you and none of me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This might sound like a strange subject to you. Actually, I kind of wrestle with the subject. Sometimes you have to drop back and punt. How many football lovers we got in the house? I hate to burst a bubble, but it ain't about football. It's just an analogy, but it is in many ways somewhat about the game of football. Is it okay if I share a part of my life story? How I probably ended up here. I'm going to take you back to 1970. I was a senior in high school, Quemos County Union School, just across the river from where Pastor Wallace was born. I was on the other side of the river. And I graduated from Pequimus County Union School in 1970. And during that time was a lot of civil unrest, you know, during that time, and stuff was just going on. But some good things were going on. I played football and in high school, and I was what was considered left guard on offense. Somebody, you know what I'm talking about. But on fourth down, how many of y'all see the games? How many of you seen fourth down play on TV? But on fourth down, I had a special task to do. I snapped the ball on fourth down. And the reason I snapped the ball was the coach said, I want you to learn how to do this. I don't want y'all ever notice this. Y'all may not pay attention to detail. But the guy snapping the ball has to snap a perfect spiral back to that punter. So he reaches his hand and not wobbling, not over his head, not under his feet, not to his left or his right, but directly to him without looking back. That's the art of it. But you have to learn to do that. And I learned to do it. I got stepped on. I got kicked. Some of everything happened to me. But I could snap that ball back there on fourth down. And the punt, there's something special about the punt. To y'all, it's like the teams, you know what, they just gave up. They just gave the ball away. Oh, no, there's some strategy in this and punting the ball away. And punting the ball away, in a sense, gave them another advantage. It was a way of retreating somewhat. Sometimes you got to step back so you can go forward. So in 1970, that I didn't know anybody was watching Abdul, but I was granted a four-year scholarship to go to what was then Hampton Institute to play football. It's now Hampton University. My dad said, you can't go. Broke my heart. And back during that time, y'all just bear with me a minute. During that time, you didn't rebel in my dad's house. That was your death wish. Oh, no. My dad stood to me about like this. Even then, my dad was short. He said, you ain't going. I said, but why? He said, don't ask me why. He said, you just ain't going. He said, if you want to go to college, me and your mom will try to send you. But mom didn't work. Mom took care of four hard-headed boys and two trifling girls. I couldn't see. I was looking through my carnal mind, my physical eyes. But my dad wasn't. I didn't know then, but I know now. He saw something that I didn't see. He didn't want his son broken up. But still, I didn't rebel, but I didn't go to college either. I said, you know what? If I can't go to college, I'm just go to work. So I went over to Virginia, went to work. Got me a job over there. As a matter of fact, my dad was the reason I got the job. And I got the job, and he told me, he said, whatever that man tell you to do, you do it. Yes, sir. I was still ain't rebelling. But I found myself, when I got to thinking about it, I always had to step back and punt. Proverbs 16:9 said, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step. And the Bible also said in Psalms that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I stopped by to let somebody know today, the path that seems right unto you might seem right unto me, may lead to destruction without God being in it. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is written, that no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And verse 10 says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. I ask you today that you will pray today, that you focus all your attention on God, his ways, his thoughts, his desires, because you know his design for you is better than your heart can even imagine. I just want somebody to know today that don't lean unto your understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. I don't know about you, but my path surely needs directing every day. Even though I get up in the morning, my wife will tell you I'm up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and the house is quiet after then because I'm up praying. I go lock myself in the bathroom, and that's why I pray and talk to God about things, because I don't know what the day may bring, but God knows what the day will bring. And I have to trust God. That don't mean things are going to go smoothly now. I'm stopped by to let you know that I'm lived long enough to know that just because I prayed at 4 a.m. in the morning, the psalmist David said he got up early in the morning and he prayed. He said, and then he lay in wait, but he wasn't laying down sleeping. He's just letting you know that he's waiting on God, because every step I take is ordered by God. Every step I make is ordered by God. I don't care if I'm going to the left or going to the right. It's ordered by God, because I mean, long as I'm in his will, you can't get in my way. Oh, you can throw some stumbling blocks out there, but guess what? God removed the stumbling blocks. I stopped by to let you know today, don't give up, Paul, because guess what? God is working. Might not look like it, but God is working in the midst. God is working. Pastor Micah, I looked at you Sunday before last, and I told Miss Bonnie last Sunday, I said, Pastor Mike looked like he was worried about something. She began to tell me about the troubles you were going through. I told her, I said, but it's going to be all right. God has already worked it out. God worked it out before you even knew he was going to work it out. Somebody ought to say amen today. I don't know about you, but I'm learning more and more to trust God each and every day, because I can't make it by myself. I don't even want to try to make it by myself. I tell my daughter, no man's an island. Y'all listen to Frank Sinatra say, I did it my way. Pastor ain't the only one can sing. You didn't do it your way. And God permits it, will he allow you to do it? It don't necessarily mean it was God's way. But in God's permission, will he allow us to do some things sometimes, Abdul, that we ought not to do and think we got away with it. But everything comes, all the sap will rise to the top after a while. I got some old folks in the house know anything about sap. Somebody ought to say amen. See, I'm still a little old school, even though Pastor brought me up in, you know, the 22nd century or somewhere here. I thank him for that image you put up there. I didn't do that. I'm still old school because I remember when I was a little boy in Belvedere, and I still in my mind right now, in my physical eyesight, in my mind, I can see those ladies walking down that dusty dirt road going to Bray Branch Church, dressed in white on first Sunday because they're going to have communion, and rain, shine, hell or blow, they went. It didn't make any difference. But now we got cars we can drive. We won't even come to church. We won't even come to church. But I'm old school. I still believe in opening my Bible, because I'm not that technical savvy. So I have to read God's word and apply it to my heart. And I just want you to know today where this subject came from. This subject actually kept birthed in me about 33 years ago, and I didn't know I was going to be preaching on you need to drop back and punt, that it's okay. This subject got birthed in my heart back in 1990, January the 2nd. I won't forget. The people I work for now, I could have went to work for them a year before. I'm still on the subject. It's okay to drop back and punt. Stick with me here. I could have gone to work for them a year before. And Paul, just so you know you can make it, I'll share something with you. See, instead of going to work for them a year before, I decided I'm going to work for myself. I wanted to be somebody. The way I saw to be somebody was be a business of my own. I spent 9 months of 89 in my own business, and I failed at it miserably. Thousands of dollars. My wife's sitting right there, she can tell you. Thousands of dollars I failed miserably. In the year of 1989, if my wife's car blew a tire, I didn't have money to even buy a tire. But God. But God. I'm taking my time with this, because I want this to sink in with somebody here today that's struggling. And you think you got to stay in the state you're in. You don't have to stay in the state you're in. But God. God saw this man. I worked hard every day myself. Right over here outside of Union. One Saturday, a cold Saturday morning, I was on the skidder out there, and it was misting rain. It was so cold that my mustache had icicles on it, had ice literally frozen. But I was trying to make it. Joel, I was pressing on. I worked hard, but I didn't make it. And I felt like a complete failure. So I saw a gentleman in Rose's store in Edenton in 1989, Christmas Eve. He said, hey, he said, Ray still wants you to go work for him. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, yeah, he still wants you to come. I said, he don't want me now. He said, yes, he does. So I called him up the day after Christmas. He said, come out here to the house. I had never been in the house before. Had never even talked to his wife. Went in the house, sit at the kitchen table, and we talked about the job offer. He hired me as foreman 33 years ago, January the 2nd. I was so broken, disgusted, depressed. Felt like God had forsaken me. When I tried to do all that I could for my wife and my two daughters. And this is the words he told me. He said, sometimes you got to drop back and punt. Woo! He said, sometimes you got to drop back and punt. I looked at him, not understanding this. God was using him and his wife because they didn't go to church. I don't know if they believed in God, Matt. But in the time from the beginning until now that we're not even finished yet, we're still together. I went to 2 baptisms. First, my boss himself. I went to his baptism. God was working. A few months later, I went to his wife's baptism. Woo, glory to God. Can you see God working? He told me to drop back and punt, but you know what? The punt was for him and I both. It was for both of us. We needed one another. Isn't it amazing how God brings people into your life? Isn't it amazing when you allow God to work in your life, what he would do? It truly amazes me. I'm still amazed by what God does. I've been on this word, Paul, on this earth, Paul, for a good while now. Somebody called me old the other day. I didn't think it was, but I guess I'm old now. But I've been around for a while now, and I've seen God like Miranda. I've seen God work. I've seen how God can do miraculous things even when you think it's done and over with. I was talking with a young lady yesterday. She'd been crying out to God on behalf of her brother. Said she didn't know what to do anymore. I said, well, did you think about praying for yourself? Huh. I hadn't given that a thought, she said. I said, you need to ask God for courage and strength for you on this journey. Sometimes We just need to drop back and punt. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, lean not unto all on understanding, all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. When you lost your way, I stopped by to let you know, Dave, when it's dark and you can't seem to find your way, when life looks dark and dreary, when your life seems dull, when your life looks bleak, when life is depressing, I want to pause right there. I said I can share stuff in my life. Has anybody ever suffered with depression before? I've been on antidepressant drugs. The doctor put me on drugs. He said, you're depressed and you need help. But I'll stop by to let you know today. I stayed on those drugs for a couple weeks. I said, Lord, this stuff ain't doing me no good. It's making me worse. And I decided one hot summer afternoon, I said, Lord, I'm yours. I said, Lord, I ain't depressed. I declared and decreed I ain't depressed. I said, what's wrong with me? I just lost my way. I was brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a Christian home. But I strayed away. I lost my way. I wasn't really depressed. I oppressed my own self because I got out of the will of God and I lost my way. But that Sunday afternoon, when I accept Jesus Christ back into my life as Lord, you take the reins, Lord. You guide me, Lord, because I can't make it by myself. I don't want to be on these drugs. I'm not depressed. Lord, I declare and decree I am not depressed. I threw those drugs away. My wife said, you ain't supposed to just throw them away. You're supposed to flush them down the toilet. I said, I don't care. I don't want them anymore. I surrendered. I dropped back and punted again that day, Abdul. I did. And I wasn't and always been who I am now. But I thank God for my upbringing. For those suffering with depression, it is real. It is real for some people. But I found out that wasn't my case. But one thing I do know, old hymn said, yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him deep down in my soul. And God does miraculous things, young people. I want to let you know. Just take a look around in here today. There's some older folks. They might not be as old as I am, but they're here today. The Bible says that young men are for war, but old men are for counsel. I hope I'm doing a little bit of counsel. I'm not a PhD counselor, but been through enough stuff. I can share some stuff with people to help them along life's way. And I don't mind making myself vulnerable to the fact that, no, I have not dotted every I, nor have I crossed every T. And many times I've done things I shouldn't have done. But through God's grace, I'm here today. I'm like the Apostle Paul. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. I'm not my keeper. God is my keeper. When all hope is gone, it's time to drop back and punt. Romans 7:21, the words of the Apostle Paul, he said that even when he desired to do good, the evil was always present. How many of you been there? You think everything's going just fine, and all of a sudden, you hit a bump in the road. This message has been on my heart for a few weeks. I was reading on a Saturday morning, and I didn't even know any scripture to put with this message. And that's when I came upon John 10:10, how they had treated Jesus. how they began to want to stone him for teaching God's word, for being about his father's business. And I just want to share with you, things happen to you. On this past Friday morning, I've been tired. All week long, I've been mentally tired. I've been physically tired. I've been spiritually tired and emotionally tired. And I would come home at night. My wife say, "You tired?" I say, "Honey, I'm tired." But you know what? I must carry on. Even the young folks get weary. Abdul, yeah, y'all get weary. Pastor Mike and I and Joel and all of us, we yet holding on. But you young people get weary too. But it's by the power of God that we can carry on, because the Bible lets us know the battle's not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Bible tells us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm standing on his promises today. It's his power and his strength that gives me the courage to go on from day to day. So, 1 Corinthians 5 and 10 is what the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God that he is what he is. So on Friday morning, you know, you get tested. The devil knew I was tired from all week long. Started out Monday morning on the job with an engine. One of our engines on our machine went out. Turbocharger went out. It cost thousands. But the problem was, wasn't one in the United States of America. I said, "What you mean? Talking about these Caterpillar deals. What do you mean? There ain't one in the United States. Y'all built this thing. What's wrong?" The closest place they could find one was either Australia or wherever Senegal is. I said, "You got to be kidding me." So Matt had to drop back and punt. God's teaching me a lesson all week long about this message. I said, "Lord, you know what? I'm ready to get rid of this message." But we ended up robbing from Peter to pay Paul. Robbed one off another engine we had. But then on Friday morning, tests got a little more real, Kathy. We have some problems on the job, and that's why sometimes you don't need to listen to stuff. I was on the bulldozer and on the CB, went out to find wheel holders. Truck driver, you know what I'm talking about. Holler on the CB. "We're going to have to shut this job down if you don't fix that hole down the path." And do you know what I said back? "We ain't shutting no job down." He come back with something else, but guess what? By that time, the Holy Spirit had kicked in. I didn't say anything. I was back quiet because I realized I didn't need to say anything, because anything else I had to say wasn't going to be good. But when we get back to Jesus and what he was dealing with, his own people picked up stones to stone him to death because he was being about his father's business. And in this text today, he literally had to back up and punt. Jesus had to retreat. Can you imagine that? What about you and I? Who are we if Jesus had to get out of the way of some evil folks? I want you to go with me now. Let's talk about Jesus, the Son of the living God. And people get ready to cast stones on him, to stone him to death. He could have, I'm sure if he wanted to, just done what he wanted to and cast them down. But he didn't. The Bible says that when they tried to seize him, tried to grab hold of him, and he got away from him. He got away, and the Bible says he went back across the Jordan River. And he went back across the Jordan River to the place where John had been baptizing. Y'all remember the song, "Lord, take me back to the place where I first received you. It was there where Jesus said the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove from heaven. He went back to that place where he started. And the Bible says that many people came to him. And they said, though John never performed miraculous signs, and all that John said about him was true. And in this place, the Bible says that many believed. I'll stop by today to let you know this today, that yes, God is real. Yes, God is real. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we live by faith in the NIV, but I like what the King James said. So we walk by faith and not by sight. If Jesus had to retreat and drop back, what do you think about us? The punt has purpose. Let's go back to the punt. The punt has purpose. In a football game, when it's third and long, y'all come on, go with me now. I'm about to close this thing down now. It's third and long. Do you punt or do you go for it? Evidently, Jesus says third and long, I need to punt. I need to punt. Stick with me here. He said, I'm going back and start over again. So this is what the punt does. When you snap the ball on fourth down, and when the punter punts the ball, he wants to punt a high and lofty punt just as long as he can. But he wants the punt to have some hang time. Do you know what the hang time is for? Are we going somewhere now? The hang time. He punts it so it's high, lofty, lengthy, as close to the goal line or to the sideline, and remain in bounds. He wants it to remain in bounds. He wants it high and lofty to give his men time to get downfield where the receiver is and to be there when he catches the ball, unless he calls for a fair catch. If he don't call for a fair catch, he's fair game. They're to trounce him, knock the ball loose. Yes, they retreated. They dropped back and punt, but guess what? The ball's going toward their goal line. If they can knock the ball loose, guess what? They're closer to the goal now than they were before. That's the purpose of the punt. But I want to tell you about a man named Jesus the Christ. He's the punter. And here's the way he works. In my mind, thank God, I can look at Jesus right now. I can see him with one hand reaching into heaven and the other hand reaching down to earth, reconnecting man with God in heaven. Because we needed somebody to punt the ball for us. We need somebody to punt, to kick a high and lofty ball, that it will hang high. Because the Bible says that God has angels encamped all around about us, ministering to us every day of our lives, and ain't got no better sense than believe it. I'm evidence that it works. I'm evidence that God does that, because in my life I needed someone. My wife couldn't help me. My boss couldn't help me. Church, I know what I'm talking about. See, we need to be the gospel. We need to be the gospel. Because guess what? We might be the only Bible anybody see every day. I love God. I love him. I love his people. I love him because he first loves me. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, who will believe him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I stopped by today to tell you, if you're struggling, if you're in disbelief, if you're brokenhearted, I want you to come down to this altar right now. Abdul, come here a minute. Abdul gonna help me down there. I tell you, you can't make it by yourself. And just so y'all know, I met Abdul. This is my adopted son. I don't have a son. But I thank God that I met Abdul. Abdul, we forgot something. Just stay right there. Y'all might not notice something. I didn't do that on purpose. That cane stayed up there. I won't plan on doing that. But I want somebody to believe today. Paul, I want you to believe. Come here, Paul. Come here. I want you to believe. Because we get some prayer warriors up here. Is there anybody else in here today? You're struggling. You don't have to sit there like a bump on the log. I'm going to let you know, when you're going through some stuff, you need somebody in your life. Joel, you need somebody. Another today, you feel like you need prayer today, and God is in the healing business.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, or traces of
I just want to say today that when you hit that bump in the road, you might have to drop back and punt. Find a different way. And the way is through Jesus the Christ. You know, I took time the other day to look back over my life to see where God had brought me from. Words cannot express my heartfelt thanks to God for loving me, for keeping me, and for blessing me. I thank Pastor Wallace for blessing me. He has blessed me. And I just want to say to you today that keep your hands in God's hand. He'll lead you through the storms. He didn't promise a tiptoe through the daisies. That troubles weren't going to happen, but they're going to happen. But it's what we react, how we react when they happen. To God be the glory. Amen. Every once in a while, you got to drop back and punt. Amen.
I'm glad he is old school. Amen. Give me hope. Gives me hope if I can do that when I get there. I feel good about that. We thank you, Pastor Bernie. We're proud of you. Proud to serve with you. Thank you for praying for me. Hallelujah. Well, we have guests in the house, family in a sense of the word, that are back in the U.S. from Romania, and we just want to give them a little time to give you an update of what's been taking place with them. And so I'm going to ask Rhonda and Phil, just come on forward and let you just share with us this morning what God's been using you to do there in Romania. And we give him all the praise. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank y'all again for allowing us to come here. We were back here, I think, in April when I was looking back on it and talked a little bit about what we've been doing. We went over to Romania in 2018. God called us there for some reason, and we've worked with orphan and abandoned children. Has been our main focus over the past few years, and just within the past year or so, we've really been praying, and we've been unsettled and feeling that God wanted us to work with the aged out, specifically the girls, that they get pregnant or whatever, and you know, they think that's going to get them out of the system, and then it just turns into this cycle, and you know, they'll end up in prostitution or other things. And so we had asked about some prayers for that, and one of the things that we had talked about was starting to rent a home when we got back to Romania. And we just did that and had the longest move in history. We started moving on October 1st, and I think we completed the move November 20th. So anyway, but that's kind of that, and I'll let Rhonda talk a little more.
You know, when God asked us to work with these older girls, I think I told you that I wanted to go hold babies. I get to hold lots of babies because these aged out orphans have lots of babies. but we definitely need your continued prayers. We opened up Casa Stetta, Esther's house. They don't realize that they were born for such a time as this. We want to give them the gospel by our lifestyle, by our words, by our prayers, everything. And we get these girls in, and I can tell you one story. She was 10. Her mama gave her up. Didn't give her sister up, but gave her up. It's not just orphans. It's abandoned children, which brings a whole new set of problems. You're 10 years old. Your mama gives you up. By 12, the director of the orphanage is selling 20 of you to prostitution, 12 years old. By the time you figure out, you get out of it, you turn them in, you're pregnant at 14 by somebody in the orphanage, by another young man in the orphanage. You get pregnant, but then he beats you. 6 months into the pregnancy, he hurts you so bad that the babies die. She could hear the babies crying. She couldn't do anything about it. They were 6 months along. Babies out of the womb crying. It still haunts her today. She gets pregnant again, gets out of the orphanage by a guy who also beats her. She gets away from him. Of course, she can't. She has no money. She has no place to go. She gets in with another guy and gets pregnant. But then again, he beats her. But then she remembers, I have people in Romania that I can talk to. So she calls one of our team members and says, I got to get out. So she lives with us now, her and her children. I wish I could say it was easy, but it's not. It is a heartbreak every day because they want to, I'm reminded so much of the scripture, a dog returns to its vomit. We're pulling back and punting right now because God's got this. We don't. So So what we want to ask of you today more than anything, please pray for us. God reminds me that we're not doing the changes in their lives. Our job is to love God, to love others well, like He loves us. And as long as we're doing that, there is no measure of success other than loving God and loving them well. We're there for them. It's hard. My tears show how hard it is. But because of you and your prayers, we will do what God has asked us to do. So thank you, Pastor, for this morning.
We do have a little short video if they want to show that. Just this kind of shows a little bit about what we've done over the past few months.
Stand with me, please. Stretch your hands forward as we pray for them. And after we pray, I'm going to let them slip out and be in the foyer. If you want to stay in touch with them, they've got some information. You can do that. But we really need to sort of lift them up and give them what they've asked today. Your prayers, your help, Jesus' guidance. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for Rhonda and Phil. We thank you, Lord, for the call that you placed on their lives. We thank you, Lord, for those that have come in contact with me and them, and their lives have been changed because they've been introduced to Jesus. Now we pray for strength. Physical strength to endure and help carry the burdens of those who need them most. So we ask you to strengthen them. Give them good health. Give them fortitude. Great endurance, that in every situation they can remain to be a blessing. Father, we ask you to meet their financial needs, that would never be a concern. Take care of the things at home that need to be covered while they're away. And Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for giving them to us and for the work that they do. So we just lift them up and we give them back to you. Use them again and again, more mighty than you ever have before. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you very much. Pastor will be back next week. Make sure that you stop by and speak to Rhonda and Phil. Be blessed. May you do something for the kingdom this week that changes somebody else's life. Amen.